Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price, joined by Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor for a late summer podcast. I haven't talked to you since the end of the season. Welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to catch up.
We are doing this from the new H.G. Levine Broadcast Center, a gift from Stephen Mayer. It is beautiful, as you can see. This is the first podcast that we're doing from downstairs here. This is on E-level of Jadwin. It's being built out. It's going to be the new home for our podcast. Behind us is the studio where you can do studio shows. To the right through the glass here is where the video streaming setup is going to be. It's pretty impressive to look at, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible.
And I don't know what any of this stuff does. I don't know how to work any of this. My colleague Cody Cruchel and John Bullis have done a great job of setting this place up. And, of course, the gift itself was generous to make all this happen. But it's a real fresh start for the whole multimedia production here. And you get to be the first person to do a podcast from down here.
I just got to make sure I don't touch anything, inadvertently hit a button or something like that and shut the whole place down.
This is a little more high tech than the little round desk in my office where we've been doing this for all these years. But so what's your take on how your summer has gone and some recruiting and some time to get away and those kinds of things?
It's been a really good summer. For a lacrosse coach, you move right from the season and postseason and wrapping up here at Princeton. You know, we graduate in early June and have reunions then, and you move right into the heavy part of recruiting with weekend tournaments and camps during the week. So the first 6-7 weeks of the summer are really, really busy. And then we try and shut it down in our office for the first couple of weeks of August to really take a break and get away from it all. It's a dead period, actually, for women's lacrosse during those times. And right now we're gearing up for September 1, which is the new start of the recruiting period for lacrosse. And, of course, prepping for the players getting back to school and starting a new year.
So let's go back to graduation day, which I think is the last time I saw you. But the picture of your grads' caps and gowns, just knowing how much those players had meant to your team, 4 Ivy League championships, most recently getting to the NCAA quarterfinals, 7 players who all contributed for 4 years essentially and left their mark in major ways with individual honors and team accomplishments. What is graduation day like for you when you see them in the caps and gowns, knowing they're moving on and knowing the holes that they're creating?
Well, it's bittersweet for sure. I think you're really just so proud of each of them and all that they've accomplished and given their hard work for this program over the last 4 years. And, you know, without them, we wouldn't have accomplished everything that we were able to accomplish. And just seeing them develop as not just players, but as teammates and as people and as strong and confident women, you just feel really proud about that. And, you know, they all had their jobs lined up for this year pretty early in their senior year. I mean, they are a shining example of what the Princeton education and Princeton student-athlete experience can do for you in terms of giving you a leg up as you enter your career and the powerful connections with the Princeton alumni and the Princeton Alumni Network. And I know those those kids, I can't call them kids anymore. I guess they're women. Those women are really well prepared for the next stage of their lives.
Yeah, 22, 23 years old now. And
yeah.
It goes by so fast for all of them. And I know we talk about this, and I talk about this with every coach and even the athletes. It just, you can remember when they showed up as freshmen, and now all of a sudden that, they're gone and your program moves along. And let's talk a little bit about recruiting, because recruiting obviously is the lifeblood of any program. We talked about this a little bit, I think, last year, but the summer club tournament, the whole way it works, at what point did it really change from how recruiting was when you started? And what was it like when you started? Where did you go to find players then?
Yeah, back then it was different. I think you went to high school games more when your season ended. The season didn't go so long. So the Final Four used to be in early May, and so you could still get to a lot of high school games and a lot of high school playoff games, and summer camps were really big. I ran summer camps here. I ran summer camps off campus, and so we would see players there. Those were really the two main places where we would see kids. We get a lot of recommendations from coaches, but it's a whole different animal now with the club scene and with the season extending so late and with our team being in playoffs through most of May, you really don't get to see as much high school lacrosse. So much of the recruiting really happens within the club environment in the high school years.
So let's just start at the most simplistic level. You know, I've been to a lot of these tournaments from a different perspective, but from the perspective of a coach sitting on the sideline for weekend after weekend, really hot weather, you got your chair, you see the same faces over and over again. I mean, you have to love doing it or else you couldn't do it for as long as you've done it. So what is the thought about that from your perspective?
Well, it's just a great opportunity to see so many players, you know, in one space over a short period of time in a given weekend. And I do like being able to see kids over the course of the summer, because sometimes you'll see a kid in one tournament, they really catch your eye, but then maybe not so much in the next tournament, or maybe some kid who was quiet this one weekend really shines in the next weekend. So it can make things difficult as you evaluate, but I enjoy seeing kids over time, seeing them grow throughout the summer. I think most every club team looks a lot better by mid-July than they did in early June. But it's, you know, it's a marathon. You're out there from 8 in the morning, you know, in some tournaments till 8 at night, and it can be 95 degrees and you can be on turf. And I've gone through a lot of sunscreen this summer, Jerry, and a lot of hats. And you just really have to keep your focus. And fortunately, I'm not an ADD kind of person in terms of that. I can watch lacrosse all day long and be pretty good. But it's also fun because you're around other coaches, you get to see other people, and you have a little bit of interaction. But it's important that you're not distracted and you're really watching what you're there to watch.
Do you do anything sort of, I mean, I guess it's not exactly analytics, but from the perspective of looking back maybe over a 10-year period or a 5-year period of how you got players into your program and what the process was with them and the ones who were the most successful in terms, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, how many of these kids did you go to see this kid and then notice that kid and then that really turns out to be somebody? Or is it always the kid that you were focused on from the start? And do you track those kinds of things?
Well, we really don't go to tournaments to see a particular kid. I mean, when we're starting the recruiting cycle, like we will be this coming year, we'll be watching the 2022 class. And so we really just go out to watch the games, and we want to see the different clubs, and we want to see as many clubs play over the course of the November recruiting period and then the summer recruiting period, as well as we do. My coaches and I do a lot of camps and clinics, both at Princeton and off campus, you know, for other organizations and coaches. And so you're constantly, you have your eye out. And it's not so much, it used to be, these are the kids who wrote us and let's go out and watch them. And now we just go out and watch games. And we're looking for the kind of players that we really like and who we think would be great fits, would add tremendous value to the team. So we're looking for the best kids that we can find. We're looking for kids who, you know, are really, they're athletic, they have good stick skills, they have good game sense, and, you know, they have some of those intangible qualities of grit and aggressiveness and speed and quickness that you're really going to need to be successful at the Division I level.
Are you able to see what kind of team player somebody might be in something that's essentially individual showcases?
Well, they're not so much individual showcases.
They're not, but they turn into that a lot of the time.
Yeah, but I think with the club teams, I don't think that happens so much because, you know, I think they understand that as coaches, we're looking for team players, and we're not just looking for a kid to take the ball and run to goal over and over again. I mean, we want to see how kids play off the ball. We want to see how they play with other people. We want to see what their lax IQ is like. We want to see how they react when their teammate scores a goal or when something, you know, wrong happens on the field, they make mistakes, how they react from that. So, you know, we're trying to get a good feel for what kind of player that kid would be for us. I think camp is the other big place where we actually get to coach them. That's so important, to have the opportunity to coach someone, whether it's at a clinic, a one-day clinic, one-day camp, or, you know, like one of our overnight camps here on campus. Do they like your coaching style? Can they take direction from you and work to implement it? Are they listening and really into it? These are the things that you look for, and you want to bring in kids who you think you will really enjoy coaching.
Do you say, okay, this year we need to go heavier at this position than that position, or you just try to find the best players?
Well, to some extent we have to do that, right? We need a goalie, and, we need a crease attacker. We kind of need a crease attacker. Your middies, a lot of kids play middy in high school who might filter down to attack or the defense end. But yeah, we definitely take a look at what we've graduated, what we have kind of in the team, kind of who we see moving up to fill different roles, and where, looking over the next few years, we're going to need to add players. So it's definitely something that we consider, but it's not the be-all, end-all.
So you have 9 freshmen coming in. This would be the class of 2023.
Yeah.
9 coming in. You lost 7. So some numbers, a little bit more depth. Those are kinds of things that are important to the program. What does the incoming class look like?
I think the incoming class is pretty good. And we have a few kids in that class who I think could help us right away. Some really talented kids. And we have good support in basically every position coming in. We have a goalie in Emma Brigger. We've got some quality middies and, both attack and defense. So, I think it's going to help us meet our needs both for depth and as well as kids who can make contributions on the field in their first year.
And now it's late August, or amazingly it's late August already. Your returning players will come back when school starts. At what point do you sort of turn the page from the previous season and really start to sit down with the coaching staff and focus on, okay, this is our team for next year. This is how it looks. This is what we need to work on, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what we're doing now, right? We kind of wrap up at the end of the previous year. And now in this period of time, as we head into the season, we really turn our eyes to that. Like, what our key focus is going to be for this year? What things do we want to add offensively or defensively? What holes are we looking to fill? What does our personnel look like from a culture standpoint? What's going to be really important to emphasize? And that's what we do over the course of the summer, and especially as we head into the start of school. We meet with every class when they get back, and they do some feedback exercises with each other, and we talk about each class and kind of how their roles will change this year, and kind of what they see as the strengths of their class, and what areas will they need to grow in over the course of the year. And so we really do a lot of work with them and our leadership group of transitioning to a new year. And every year, everybody has a different role to play on the team, and every class has different things that they're going to need to bring to the table. So it's a really important part of the fall.
I spoke to Jim Barlow, the men's soccer coach, about this last week, or a couple of weeks ago, about what it feels like leading up to the start of practice and the start of another school year. And, obviously as a fall sport, it's much more immediate. What about for you when the new school year starts, knowing that your season is still months away, but the players are coming back, your new players are being mixed in, and just it's the whole start of it again for you? Do you still get the same excitement?
Oh yeah, it's really exciting, because the fall is really when the team starts to take shape, when they gel as a group, and you're really teaching so many of the fundamentals and the team concepts that you're going to implement in games in the spring, when they develop their, identity as a team apart from the team that we were last year. Who is this 2020 team going to be, where the new leadership emerges on the team, and you add the new players in the mix, which is always so interesting. I mean, every team is different, and every year has its unique challenges. And so that's what we do, coaches. We build teams, and it's exciting every year to undertake a new challenge.
2020, I didn't really consider that until you said it. That just seems like it would. It's amazing that it's 2020 already. But also in terms of you, you had a couple of weeks off. I know you like to go to the beach. You got a chance to get some downtime.
I did. I'm a big water person, so I got to spend some good time at the beach and good time with friends and just a little recharge time after the summer. Can, you know, it's a lot with the camps and the recruiting. So we tend to shut down the office first couple of weeks of August and give everybody a break. And so you come back fresh and ready to go.
So a couple of last things before we let you go here. One is we've talked a lot about recruiting and recruiting at camps and things like that, but you also bring a lot of little kids into a camp here as mm-hmm. well. How much fun is that?
Oh, it's fun. I mean, we have camps. Actually, Karen Maurer, our assistant coach, she's basically in charge of our Cub camp with our really little kids. And I know she has a lot of fun with that. And then we have our overnight camps beginning in, rising seventh graders all the way up through college freshmen. And every year you just get to expose so many new players to Princeton University. And, they get to spend time on campus and live in the dorms and eat in the dining halls and, walking from the dorms to the fields and working with the coaches and getting to meet some of the players on the team. I think it's a great opportunity for us. So many of the players on our team have come through our camp system and our clinics over the years, and that's really where we get the best feel for them, and they really get the best feel for us.
And then what about a 2020 schedule? Where does that stand?
That's pretty much wrapped up at this point, the 2020 schedule. So it's kind of the reverse of last year. This year, six of our first seven games will be on the road. And then we end April, we're pretty much at home except for a trip to Harvard. So it's going to be kind of crazy, but we're making another trip down to Florida over spring break. We'll play Jacksonville this year. Florida's coming up to play us. We still have Stony Brook and Maryland, Penn State, Virginia, schools like that. So it's pretty similar to last year with a couple of additions.
That's pretty exciting. And
yeah.
Florida here should be a good game. Stony Brook, I guess, would be there. That was here.
Yeah, we'll be at Stony Brook.
At Penn State, home with Virginia.
Home with Virginia.
So all the reverse of last year.
Yeah.
And then also the fall schedule, there's...
Yeah, we've got some good fall ball coming up. We'll have our alumni game on October 5th, and then we've got a tournament at Princeton on Sunday, October 13th. USC will be coming into town for that, as well as Albany and Rutgers. And then on the 20th, we're going to stay down in Baltimore. We've got the big induction for
Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame and Rachel Beck, our first player, to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So we'll be down in Baltimore for that on Saturday night, and the team will come down on Sunday. We're going to be at Loyola, and I think we're playing actually Loyola and Florida and Richmond on Sunday.
That sounds pretty good. I remember we talked last year during the fall, and you thought maybe weren't as far along as you might have wanted to be in the fall, and then turned out to go 16-4 and won the Ivy League tournament, gets the NCAA quarterfinals. Did you take anything away from that you take into this year, or was that all, sandbagging the whole time?
No, it wasn't sandbagging at all. I guess what the one thing I think I can take from that is that, what really matters is what happens when you're in your season. But, we certainly hope, we had a lot of, some of our top players who were injured last fall, and we had to develop our identity. I think it was good for the players to realize at that point, hey, we're not just going to walk out on the field and compete and win every game just because we're Princeton lacrosse. And I think a lot of work was done by the individual players, the team as a whole, in the months of December and January that really made the difference in February. So the fall is a really important time for the team, both in coming together and bonding as a group and getting a look for, who we are and us knowing where we need to focus to be ready for Feb 1.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time here in the month of August to talk about women's lacrosse season. We'll do one more in the fall, maybe one more before the new year, and then we'll be back next year for each week as the season unfolds, if that works for you.
That works for me. Thanks, Jerry.
And we'll be down here doing them.
It's awesome.
The H.G. Levine Broadcast Center. It's a new dimension for Princeton athletics, and it's certainly something that's going to have a major impact. Coach Saylor, I'm glad we were able to spend some time together. Glad you got to have a chance to get down to the beach, and looking forward to the new school year starting.
Thanks, Jerry.
For Chris Saylor, the head women's lacrosse coach at Princeton, I'm Jerry Price, thanking you for being with us and thanking you for your continued support of Princeton women's lacrosse.